Let us all say amen. And thank Brother Kirby for leading us on this morning in our songs. Praise to God. Amen. Amen. And thank for all the other brothers that have participated in our worship on this morning. And we're here to worship God. Amen. Amen. That's our purpose of being here. The Bible records for us in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and verse 47. I'd like to put our mindset that our purpose for being here is that we worship God in spirit and in truth. It's not about us. It's about us giving praise to God for what God has done in our lives. And Luke, when he penned this in Acts 2:42, he shared with them the five acts of worship when we worship God. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And then praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So there are five acts of worship. And I know sometimes some people want to put more emphasis on one than on the other. Now, they're all equally important. We have to, when we come to worship God, we have to fellowship is when we give. If God has blessed us to receive money, earnings, it's our responsibility to give back to God a portion of what God has given us. That's saying, thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Also, we participate in the breaking of bread, communion. The brother led us on this morning. That to take our minds, we're going to talk about that this morning, our minds to reflect on what Jesus did for all of us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And then we also want to pray to God, thanking God, sending those supplications and those requests to God for what God has done in our lives. And then the Bible says we praise God. Now, we don't praise God with mechanical instruments. We don't praise God by having people sitting down, bassing in the mic. No, we sing with the fruit of our lips. We sing with the fruit of our lips. Yeah, that's what we do. The Bible teaches us that we need to do that. And that takes away from some of what we find that even in the church today, we find ourselves doing those things that we find not in the Word of God. Let me share with you in the Word of God. Go to Ezekiel. Come on, Brother Stroud. Come on, Brother Stroud. Ezekiel. Let me share with you why we don't base in the mic when we worship God. Yeah, because God, everything that God has given us to worship Him outside of when we return with our giving. In Ecclesiastes 28, did I say the chapter? Okay, 28. Ezekiel, what did I say just now? Yeah. Now watch this here. Some preachers are saying there, I was just checking to see if y'all listened. No, I didn't. I'm making a mistake. I made a mistake. Yeah, you know, some people try to cover themselves, but when you do wrong, you need to admit you was wrong. Yeah. Admit you was wrong. No, Brother Stroud, I have my Bible in Ezekiel chapter 28, and the verse is number 13. Let me share with us sometime why we sing and why God has given us all that we need to worship Him. We don't need no piano. What? Note what God said through Ezekiel, and I get to my lesson. The Bible says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, and onyx, and jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, however you pronounce that, and gold. Now watch what God said here. the workmanship of thy tributes and of the pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Now, man today called it windpipes. God said when he created man, he gave man windpipes. That's why we don't need no piano. Everything we need to worship God, God has given to us when you come in here to assemble. He gave us windpipes, the Lord said, and thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Yeah, so that's why we come. We don't bass in the mic. God gave us windpipes so we can sing to the Lord. Amen, somebody. Yeah, we want to teach us. We want to understand why we do what we do and not just do it. Yeah, but God, so when we come to assemble, everything I need, God has given us. The only thing I bring with me, I bring that which God has blessed me with, and I offer back to God what God has blessed me. Everything else, I am supposed to be participatory in when I come to worship. If I'm sitting here and I'm not singing, you are not fully worshiping. You know, sometimes we come here and we just sit here, we got stuff going on in our mind. But what I need when I come in the door, I need to be thankful that I'm here.
Amen.
Yeah, and that needs to loosen me up. Yeah, we're going to talk about that this morning, about how we are to remember what God has done in our lives. Amen?
Yeah.
So again, all the acts of worship are equally important. But I don't get up here and I don't preach on giving. No, I preach the word of God. Yeah. What you do if you, well, you need to preach more on giving. No, you preach people how to love God.
That's it.
And when they love, they will give right.
Amen.
Yeah, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
Amen.
Teach people to love God. You don't have to teach them nothing else.
Tell it.
Yeah. Miss Congregation, we'll do fine if we just give as God has prospered us.
Amen.
Yeah. That was the appetizer this morning. Let me get into God's word. Amen? I want to bless us from the word of God. Every time we hear that, I want to stand before you. I want to be able to bless you. We're in 2 Timothy, and I want to show you how, as we unfold these scriptures, how these scriptures are to energize and motivate us from the scripture. And so on this morning, I want to preach from the text. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I need to remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. What did that do for me, Brother Stroud? Well, I'm going to show you in the text what it does for you. Paul, we're picking up at the 8th verse. We left off at 7 last week, so we're picking up on verse number 8. Paul said to Timothy, he said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel.
Yes.
Paul was telling Timothy that according to the gospel I preach that Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, Paul said, I want you to remember. Yeah. I want you to remember. When I think of the definition of remember, remember is to have or keep an image in your mind of someone. Not just when I take the Lord's Supper, I need to keep the image in mind that Jesus rose from the dead. That's what Paul said.
Yes,
why is it important? The focus of every Christian should be on Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for us by being raised from the dead. The fact is to remind the Christian of the Lord's victory over death and the grave. See, if I remember that Jesus overcame death and the grave,
yes,
what is it in my life that he can't overcome?
No.
That's what I need to remember. We all have issues. We're going to talk about that in the text. But Paul wanted him to know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead.
Yes,
that's what I'm supposed to remember.
Yes,
so when I'm going through stuff, and I want to understand that tonight, that this morning, there are two things about Jesus rising from the dead that I want you to remember. That means that Jesus Christ is the source and the supplier of all my needs.
Amen.
Yeah. Show me that in the text, Brother Stroud. Thank you for asking that question. In the Philippian letter, note this. Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, he talked about the fact you need to know your source and your supplier. In verse 6 of chapter 4, Paul wrote to them, be careful for nothing, but in everything, but in everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, the word care for here carries with a definition of anxiety. Yeah. So what the Lord says as a Christian, and I've said this before, Christians ought not to worry. Yeah. You ought to be concerned, but you don't worry.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Concern but not worry. Because Jesus said, look at Matthew chapter 6, I'll show you in the text. Jesus said, we're going to come back here. Notice what Jesus said. Matthew 6:34. Thank you, Brother Curvey. Matthew 6:34. Watch in the Christian word. There's a difference between worry and concern. And I'll just find that now. Worry carries with it a negative connotation.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you worry, well, I'm worried about going to the doctor, you think that he's going to give you some bad results.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
When you worry, it carries a negative thought.
Mm-hmm.
But I can be concerned, but I'm not worried. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 6:34. He said, take therefore no thought. That means worry. For the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So Jesus commanded, don't worry. Don't worry. Yeah. I got this. Don't worry. I'm not concerned. Yeah, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about my health. I'm concerned about my situation. I'm concerned, but I ain't worrying about them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not going to worry. Yeah, yeah. See, worry is a little deeper than worry. Yeah, worry when it starts, but when you stay there too long, you start worrying.
Yeah.
But Paul told them, don't worry for nothing. But notice the answer. But in everything, not some things. See, sometimes we go to God with some things. But I need to learn to pray to God always. He said, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. We're going to define supplication in the text. He said, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The word request is the same thing as the word prayer. It means to ask. So the Lord says, When you have stuff that's causing you concern, go to God. Pray about it. Ask him to supply. He said, with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God. Now, where is Jesus in this, Brother Stroud? I'm glad you asked that question. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. Let you use your Bibles this morning. John 14. Let me show you how this works. Because sometimes we got to understand when we pray to God, how that works. In John chapter 14 and verse number 13, note what Jesus said to his disciples. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So Jesus said then, when you pray, that's why we should always close our prayer in Jesus' name. That's the teaching. Mm-hmm. I pray. But now, understand, when you pray, the same John that wrote John, turn your Bibles to John chapter 5. Or 1 John, excuse me, chapter 5. And I want to read verse 14. Because sometimes, well, I prayed to God. But now, you got to understand, that's why we need to study the Bible. Mm-hmm. Because when John wrote 1 John, in chapter 5 and verse 14, John said, wrote this. And this, 1 John 5:14, is the confidence that we have in him. Mm-hmm. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. That's the confidence I have. That when I ask God for something, if it's according to what God's will is, what John wrote is that God hears us. Now, God can say three things because he hears our prayer. God can say, Horace Stroud, I'm going to say wait. Or God can say, Horace Stroud, yes. Or God can say, Horace Stroud, no. Yeah. And John wrote, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. See, our responsibility, sometimes we only pray when we get in trouble. Or we only pray when we... No, you need to be thanking God always. Every day. Yeah, sometimes I share with people sometimes you need to just thank God for things being as well as they are.
Amen.
Yeah. Because life could be worse. Your health could go down.
Yes.
Your job can disappear. First reason, Jesus is the source of that prayer. In Jesus' name, Jesus takes that prayer and give it to God. God, no, make your request known unto God. Amen?
Yes.
And secondly, Jesus not only is the source, that's why I got to remember that Jesus rose from the dead because when I'm going through stuff, I know God, Christ, can do anything. And then in that same letter, Paul wrote to Philippians that Christ is a supplier by which those needs come. Note what he said. Paul made it personal. He said, but my God shall supply. So that tells us now, when you have prayers and supplications, prayers is when you ask God something, you make a request. Supplications is more of a need that I have with God. Now, God, I need this. Lord, I need this job. I need this, Lord. So Paul said, but my God shall supply all your need.
Amen.
According to the riches in glory. Notice who's it by? By Christ Jesus. Jesus is not only the source, he's the supplier. Yeah. That's why Paul said to Timothy, just remember, and I'm saying to all of us, we need to remember that Christ rose from the dead. Keep it in your mind. Keep it in your heart. And when things sometimes get rough, and it's in the text right here, Paul said that in the next verse. That's what I hinge on. Because I found that sometimes Christians, when we're going through stuff, if we're not careful, we'll let go of the rope of God. We'll let it go. We'll let it go. God never lets go of our hand. We have to let go of his hand. And sometimes I'm trying to encourage us. That's called having faith in God. And I understand this here. That faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's the word of God that gives me the strength when I don't see no way out. But I'm remembering Jesus Christ. Because Paul told Timothy after that. Know what he told him. He said, wherein? Paul talked about himself now. I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bound. He said, but the word of God is not bound. Paul said in this text, the word suffer, going back to the same definition of the word endure hardness. Paul said, suffering trouble is the ability to deal with pain and or suffering without becoming easily discouraged. Yeah. We're going to go through stuff. Paul said, I'm suffering as an evildoer, even though I'm not. And not only that, the word bonds or bounds mean, Paul said, I was in prison. I'm in prison for this. But guess what? I'm remembering Jesus Christ. Yeah. When you're going through those tough times in your life, and I know I'm noticing, learning now, it seems like the older you get, the tougher it gets. You know, when you're young and teenagers and little children, you just go play. They don't have no care in the world. Yeah. But as you get older and you start taking on responsibilities, and you start taking on bills, and you start taking a job, and you got all these other things that piling up on you. Yeah. And it seems like the world now is going 100 miles a minute in your life. And I told you, I said last week, but you have to do, how do you deal with the devil? I said last week, you got to be sober and vigilant. Sober means I got to calm down. Slow down. Sister Stroud, slow down. Hold up. Time out. Let's sit down and talk about this. Yeah. Well, babe, I want to, Sister Stroud. Whoa, Nelly. Sit down. Let's talk about this here. Mm-hmm. Okay, I understand, babe. Okay, and that two? Okay, and that three? And that four. All right, I got you. But now let's look at this here. So now that's where vigilance come in. We got to think clearly. And husband and wife, you got to do as the Lord has commanded us when you have issues in your life. Look at Luke 14. Let me show you how you deal with this. So Spire come in, got all this stuff going on and all this stuff. Ma, hold on, babe, sit down. Sit down. Let's talk about this. Yeah, Luke 14 and verse number 28. This is a foundational thing I try to share with married couples. Notice what Jesus said in that situation. He said, which of you intending to build a tower, sit it not down and count it the whether he has sufficient to finish it. In other words, you as a team, you got to sit down and count up the cost. Husband and wife, sit down. Talk about it. Count up the cost. Honey, can we do this? No, babe, I don't think we got enough money to do that. What about next year? Maybe not next year. What about forever? Maybe doing forever we can do it. Yeah, we can't do none of that right now, baby. We can't, not right now. Yeah, but the Lord says to us, notice now, that's the teaching. As a husband and wife, and even our friends, when you're going to do something, sit down. Jesus gave the pattern. Sit down first, count up the cost to see whether we can do this or not. Amen? And let me say to husband and wife, once you make a decision to do something, don't back out. I've seen this in relationships where you start to do something, all of a sudden the person gets tired. You should have thought about that when we started. Yeah, because you told me for the next 2 years you was going to do this. And 6 months later, you said, honey, I don't know if I can. What you told me? You said 2 years. You got 18 more months to go. How are you going to get tired after 6 months? Yeah. Amen. I'm talking about relationships now. That's the most important thing, that we have proper relationships. So Jesus is the source. Paul said, you're going to go through some stuff. But he said, but the word of God is not bound. How do you know the word of God is not bound, Brother Scott? Because Paul, when he told Thessalonica, know what he said? Finally, brethren, he said, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Paul told Thessalonica, he said the word free course means have a free run. Don't let the word of God be limited. Amen? That's why we have the nationwide gospel call, that the word of God may run freely through the nation. We support that. We give to that because of the fact we want the word of God not to be limited. We want the word of God to have its free course. Why? That Paul said, and be glorified even as it is with you. Amen? So we want the word of God. We have that nationwide gospel call. We have callers on from across the nation every week that they can preach the gospel, that someone can invite somebody, they can hear the word of God. Our responsibility is sometimes we get confused with the word evangelize. Evangelize has to do with the preaching and the teaching. But what we all can do is invite somebody.
Amen.
Every member has a responsibility to try to invite people to come and hear the word of God.
Amen.
And how to live as a Christian. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about Christian living. We're also going to let a person know what they need to do to become a child of God. Amen? And Paul said, therefore, Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Yeah. Paul said, the stuff I deal with, and sometimes, let me say this to Christians, what Paul was saying here. Sometimes we have to deal with people not treating us properly. Sometimes we got to treat people treating us a certain way because of the pigmentation of our skin, our ethnicity. Sometimes we're going to suffer wrong because of that. But let me say this to all of us. It's how you respond when people do you wrong is what God is concerned about.
Amen.
You know, all that stuff where I gave them a piece of your mind. You need your mind. I told him. So, no, don't tell him nothing. Do what Jesus did. While he was, Lord, forgive them. See, that's when you know you're growing. When you're able to, when you know people don't have good intentions toward you and they do you wrong and try to hurt you, and you're able to get on your knees and pray for them.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Matthew chapter 5. Pray for them. Yeah, that tells you you're growing. But when you have an attitude that I'm going to get them back, Romans chapter 12, you don't revenge no Christian. No Christian is right when you do revenge on somebody.
No, that's right.
Yeah. Nobody. I don't care what they did to you. You know, sometimes people try to, somebody do something to you and they say, well, what you say? Well, I hope this happened to him. Romans 12, 19, Paul said, verse 18, Romans 12, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. In other words, if it depends on me, this congregation, I'm going to live peaceably with everybody. That takes some growing up. That somebody can treat you wrong. You know people don't care for you. They don't treat you right. But the Lord says to me, as much as it depends on you, Horace Stroud, live peacefully with all men. He said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will, saith the Lord. So when you go and get back on anybody, you have sinned. Paul said, I'm going to do all things. And the reason I'm doing it is for the elect's sake. Those that are elected by God by their choosing to become Christian. Paul told us how that happened. He said that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. Paul said, I put up with stuff. And I put up with members. I put up with all of that in order that those people that are not Christians, they may obtain salvation.
Right.
Paul said, which is in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. When I look at the word salvation, just remind us of it. The word salvation is to be rescued spiritually from their previous sins. It is given by God to those that are obedient to the gospel of Christ. That's what Paul said there. Yeah. Nobody is saved until they're obedient to the gospel of Christ. And anybody that died in their sin, Jesus said in John 8, 21, and repeated in 24, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. That's why it's our responsibility to try to invite people, to get them here, they can hear the gospel. Don't matter who they are, if they will open up and come with us, we want to teach them. And Paul said, I do that for that reason. Then he told them as he closed, as I closed, he said, it is a faithful saying, For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. How can I die with Christ and then live with Christ? Well, in Romans, you're in Romans chapter number 6. Show you how that happened. Romans chapter 6. Paul said that when he talked about those that are baptized. Romans 6 in verse number 5. Paul said, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Yeah, so when you go down in water baptism, you die with Christ. And what you do is you die to the sins. Every sin that you've ever done in your life, because you come in contact with the blood of Christ, the blood of Christ cleanses you of all your sins. And then when you come up out of the water, now, as Paul said, we can live with him. But not only that, Paul said, notice this, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. The things we may suffer in this life should not be enough to cause us to deny our Lord and Savior. If we remain faithful, we shall be exalted in due time. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. Man, you just got to hang on. But it's rough, Brother Stroud, just got to hang on. I know, but it's getting harder here, but you still have to hang on. That's what Paul said. If we suffer, we're going to reign with the Lord. Mm-hmm. However, if we start backing up and denying him, understand this, he's going to deny you. Paul said, if we believe not, yet abided he faithful, he cannot deny himself. Paul told Timothy, let me tell you this here. And I'm saying to all of us, including myself, Paul told him, if we don't remain faithful, Christ is faithful and will not deny himself. Mm-hmm. That's why when we're going through stuff, 1 Timothy chapter 10, look there, and I'm about to close. 1 Timothy chapter 10. I want us to see this. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, before I get to my final verse, 1 Corinthians 10, 13, Paul said, wrote to Corinthians, he said, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Paul said to the Corinthians, understand this here, you are not the first person to lose your job. You're not the first person to go to the doctor and get bad results. You're not the first person to find out you are not the first. It's common. Other people going through stuff you're going through. That's what he said. That's what the word common means. There's no temptation to take you but such as is common to man. Other people are going through things you're going through too. That's why it's important, those that have lost loved ones, spouses, you're the one that can encourage a person because you've experienced that. Amen? Now, I can share some stuff with you from the Bible, what the Lord teaches us, but when you experience something, you can share with that person based on your experience. But Paul said this, but God, notice what he said, but God is faithful. God is faithful. Who will not, the word suffer here means allow you to be tempted above that you are, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Why, Paul? That you may be able to bear. Yeah. God will always, sometimes we don't want the out that God given us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes I want to do it my way. No, the Lord can intervene. Yeah. Yeah. God, now God don't work, and understand this here. God worked through the natural things of the world. Yeah. That's why when we have medicine, sometimes we pray to God, no, God works through the medicine.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. So when you have something that you're supposed to take for your betterment, you have people that are professional that are based on their expertise. Yeah, you got to take what that was there. Yeah. God will make a way of escape. Amen? Amen. Yeah, so we got to trust in God. Live for God. Sometimes, you know, we got to do what God has said. Yeah. Let me show you this here in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. God. Go to James chapter 5. Show you how God worked. Yeah. God worked. God works through natural things. Mm-hmm. In James chapter 5, verse 17, got one verse and I'm closing. The Bible says Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. What he was saying was that Elijah go through the same thing that we go through. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. See, that also teaches us the power of prayer.
Yes, sir.
This man prayed to God that it might not rain
Do you know it didn't rain for 3.5 years? Tell me prayer ain't powerful. Oh, we don't need miracles today. We got the ability to pray to God.
Amen.
Let God know what you want and what you need. I don't need no miracle. And I notice this here from the text. James uses an Old Testament situation to teach a New Testament point.
Mm-hmm.
Don't miss that. He didn't go back in the New Testament. I'm going to go back in the Old Testament. Then he said, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. That's why we don't need, we got prayer. Christians, if you live in faithful, pray to God. Ask God. Elijah, Old Testament, pray to God. Lord, don't, I'm going to show them something. Don't let it rain, Lord. Now they're ready for rain now. 3.5 years. Here in Houston, we panic if we don't get rain for 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we panic. Yeah. But just think if we didn't have rain. Notice if God allowed that today, the crops would die. The animals who couldn't eat would die. And at some point, man may have trouble making it.
Yes.
But because of the God we serve, and because Paul shared with them, when stuff is going on in your life, man, get you some knee pads.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Get you some knee, some good strong ones.
That's right.
Get on your knees. And not when things just going good. The Bible did, but Paul told the Thessalonians, he said, in all things, prayer, give thanks to God. Yeah, not just thank God when things are going good. Thank God when things are going bad, and thank God when things are just as good as they are.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm closing. Going back to the beginning, Paul said, of these things, Paul told Timothy, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Paul said to Timothy, as I close, I want you to put them in remembrance, or cause them to remember. And the word charging here means to summon as a witness. He said, let them know that you are charging them before the Lord. They do one thing. They don't strive about with words of no profit. Sometimes we got Christians, we say things to people and you take away their faith. That's what the word means. He said, but to the subverting of the hearers, the word subverting means to overthrow the faith of somebody. So if you're not careful, some of us can say things to make people lose their faith. Yeah, so Paul said, when you let them know, charge them that they don't just go around bumping their gums and saying stuff that don't have no profit. Let them encourage people. He said that they don't subvert people. So remember, subvert means to go up under. People go under when you break their spirit. So I'm saying to us, I go back to my title, remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And then all those things I just talked about, God can do in your life. Why? Because he did it in the life of Jesus. He raised him from the dead. There is nothing that we're going through that God can't help us with, that Jesus can't see us through. We just got to trust in God. Don't lose your faith. And remember the Lord. Amen? If you're here this morning, and you're not a Christian, as I said before, you're not a child of God. You have to obtain salvation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how I do that? You do that through the five commands that Jesus gave. The five commands. First, you need to know that there's one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, that man is Jesus Christ. You need to know that there's a lot of people that think that the Pope is the mediator between God and man. You got millions of people, the largest denomination, and we are not a denomination. We are undenominational.
Right.
Yeah. We're not non-denominational. The Church of Christ is undenominational. Yeah, but there's a denomination that they have a man in place. Yeah. As their head. But we know from the Bible that man is Christ Jesus. Why he Christ Jesus? He gave himself a ransom for all of us. That's what the Bible tells us. The ransom means simply something paid for the release of someone from captivity. What Jesus did, he gave up his life that if we be obedient to the gospel, we can then become saved from our sin. What are the five things we need to do? Number one, you need to hear. Jesus said, well, he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So you got to hear something, first of all. Secondly, you got to believe it.
Right.
Jesus answered and said unto them, John 6:29, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. You got to believe that God sent Jesus Christ, his son. After you do that, you have to repent. I tell you, Nate, but except you repent, you shall perish. What repentance mean? Repentance starts when I turn from the life I've been living and I turn to God. That's where it starts. Okay, so I have to repent. Then what I must do, you must make the confession that Jesus said, whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. You have to make the statement, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to believe that.
Yes.
Yeah, and you only believe that after you've been taught that. And Jesus said, as I close in Mark 16:15-16, he said, and go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What's the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You must understand that Jesus Christ died for your sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You must imitate that. You must die to sin. You must be buried in water baptism. You rise up to a new life. If you're a person that would like to respond to the message, we're going to bid you to come as together we sing a song of invitation for you to come. Thank you very much. If you will stand at this time, thank you very much.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood.
There's power
in the blood. Would you, old evil, a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Thank you very much.